Well, good afternoon. It's good to be with you here at the Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in this meeting. And certainly have enjoyed myself last night and this morning as we heard the gospel proclaimed and brought good news to our minds and our hearts that we may rejoice in the finished work of a Savior's love that came down from heaven to this earth to save us from our sins. I appreciate the good prayer that the brother has offered and ask a continued interest in your prayers as we stand before you. I'm sort of like I heard the old colored preacher say one time, I'm as an empty vessel standing before a full fountain. And that's where I am this afternoon. I really came expecting to hear preaching this afternoon. I didn't have any idea this was coming, but I've learned in all the 44 years of my speaking before the Lord's people to always be there for what God has called me to do. And I do believe there's been evidence in my life and in my preaching that God has called me to this, and I depend upon Him. I'm not dependent upon myself. If God blesses me with the message that's on my mind, we'll be able to rejoice in a Savior's love. If He doesn't, we'll have some scriptures put before us that we can all rejoice in and go home saying it's been good to have been at the house of the Lord. I've turned to a portion of scripture found in the book of Acts. It's a scripture that in which God does the calling, God does the sending, but God is working on both ends of the situation. This was a man that received a vision from God, sent to a man that had received a vision from God. Found in the book of Acts. And it's the man that received the vision from God was not a very pleasant man. His name was Saul of Tarsus. I mean, he went about persecuting Christians. He went about with authority to take them and lock them up. He went about with authority to persecute them in every way. But God spoke to Saul of Tarsus and told him a man was coming to you. Told him in advance what his name was. Would be no question. When he arrived, he would be sent from God. That man's name was Ananias. That's who the other, God sent the message to the other, Ananias. Who was Ananias? Well, it says here, and the Lord said, it says, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. He was a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God appeared to him in this scripture. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision. Ananias, well, there was no doubt it was a message from Jesus. Jesus spoke to him and called him by his name, Ananias. And Ananias answered that call that Jesus in an audible voice spoke to Ananias. For he said, and then Ananias said, behold, and then the Lord said, and behold, I am here, Lord. That's what Ananias' response to that voice that called his name, Ananias. Lord, here am I, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. And this is the key in all that the Lord told Ananias. This is the key. Not what kind of person Saul of Tarsus was. Not the kind of person that they had heard that he was. Not all he had done in the past. The key that the Lord said to Ananias was this. For behold, he prayeth. Let me tell you something, little child of God. An alien sinner does not pray to God. An alien sinner does not call upon God. When a man prayeth, and he prays to the God of heaven and earth, it's because he's a born again child of God. He has received from God, by the grace of God, eternal life that came to him as a gift from God, not because of anything he did, because when he received it, he was not in any condition to do anything to receive it. But God gives it to him. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And by the fact that this man prayeth, did Ananias listen? The Lord said, he prayeth. Behold, he prayeth. And then the Lord goes on and says, and hath seen in a vision a man, he was telling him that this man, Saul of Tarsus, hath received in a vision a man would come named Ananias, coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Let me tell you, the Lord had appeared to Ananias, called his name, told him to go to the Saul of Tarsus, told him that he prayeth. But yet, in spite of the fact that the Lord told him he was a praying man, Ananias doubted. Ananias was afraid. Ananias was fearful to do what the Lord had told him. Let me tell you something, little child of God. Never, never, never fear what the Lord has instructed you to do in His Word or in His message to you. Never fear to obey the Lord. It's your responsibility and your duty to obey the Lord. And here, Ananias had received a message from the Lord saying that this man, Saul of Tarsus, he had received a vision from the Lord himself that a man named Ananias would come and would put his hands on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered the Lord. Now here's Ananias' doubt about the situation. Ananias then answered the Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. What a great God it is we have. This is the last man, if it had been me, that I'd have chosen to be the apostle of Jesus Christ. You know, the church tried to make an apostle, but that didn't work out. The Lord had His own ideas who the apostle to replace Judas would be, and it would be this man, Saul of Tarsus. But when the Lord changed him and He met him on the Damascus road and He struck him down, he became the Apostle Paul by the calling of God to be an apostle. And Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard many of this man, how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call upon thy name. And then the Lord gave further information to Ananias. And when Ananias received this information from the Lord, Ananias then went and obeyed the Lord that the Lord had commanded him to do. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. That's not the man I would have called, but God, who works in mysterious ways, knew who it was that he wanted to do this work. And so he called Saul of Tarsus, changed his name to the Apostle Paul. And when he did, the Apostle Paul became, I say, no doubt in my mind, the greatest of all the apostles, of all the other 13 of them. He became the greatest of them all because it was God's choice. It was who God called to do this work. And then he said, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way. That's when the Lord appeared to him on the Damascus road. The Lord that hath appeared unto thee on the way, as thou comest, hath sent me, and thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, some people take this scripture and say when the Apostle Paul received his sight that he'd gone blind. I say it's more than that. What the Apostle Paul or the Saul of Tarsus needed was the gospel of Jesus Christ. He didn't need the gospel of Jesus Christ to give him life. He already had life. He's a praying man. He's praying to God. But he needed the benefit of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I believe Ananias went down there and he preached to him the finished work of Jesus Christ, who was the Son of the living God of heaven and earth. And I believe when Saul of Tarsus heard the message, it corrected his mind to that God had placed in his heart and made him an appropriate person to be the apostle of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he needed to know Jesus was the Son of God, that Jesus came and went to the cross, that because of him and him alone, not because of anything the sinner has done, but Jesus alone on the cross paid the sin debt for all that God the Father had given to him in a covenant of grace before the world was. And I believe that's what the blindness that needed to be corrected in Saul of Tarsus, who was now the Apostle Paul, that he might receive his sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. See, that's the first step of the child of God to enter into the visible kingdom of God, is to present yourself for baptism, which is a symbol of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. First step is you must be baptized to enter into the visible kingdom of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And from that point on until the rest of your life, you spend it serving the Lord and praising His name and giving Him glory and honor for salvation that came to you because of what He did for you, not because of what you did for yourself. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus. And straightway, that is the Apostle Paul, straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue. What did he preach about Christ? That he is the Son of God. Yes, I'm telling you, Jesus was indeed the Son of the living God.
Amen.
It's already been preached already in this meeting about the eternal sonship of Jesus. You know, through my 44 years of the Primitive Baptist, I've come across all sorts of thoughts and doctrines. Some people would say, well, Jesus didn't become the Christ till he was born there in Bethlehem of Judea. Now that's when he became the Son of Man. He was the Son of God in all eternity. He's one with God the Father. And in all eternity, people say, well, what do you mean all eternity? How many years is that? You can't say it in years. Eternity can't even be expressed in years. Eternity is eternity. Eternity has no beginning. Eternity has no ending. It's eternal. Don't ask me how many years that is. You know, we have a song in Amazing Grace. It says, when we've been there 10,000 years. Well, putting that years in there is just a waste of space, a waste of words. When we've been there, I don't care. When we've been there, we'll be there forever and forever and forever. That's eternity, little child of God. We can't fathom it. We can't dream of it. We can't even think of it because we're creatures of time. Right. But we will be with God in heaven eternally speaking.
Amen.
What a great God it is.
Yeah.
And here it was, the great apostle Paul receiving the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh yes, he was a praying man. Why was he a praying man? Because God had given him something that caused him inside to feel the weight and the burden of sin.
Yeah.
You know, I remember when I was in the missionary faith and reading stories about missionaries going to foreign places. Going somewhere and finding someone there. They did need the gospel, no doubt. But finding someone there that would pray, that would bow down to just a stump or a tree or anything and pray to God, God have mercy upon me, a sinner. Sort of like the penitent sinner that went into the temple with the Pharisee. You know the Pharisee, he right up front, he said, Lord, I'm thankful that I'm not like that penitent sinner back there. Oh, he didn't even feel worthy. He was at the back of the temple. He didn't feel worthy to be up there close to God. But yet he had a feeling within him, placed there by the Spirit of God himself, that caused him to feel to be a sinner. And he cried out unto God, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That doesn't come from an alien sinner.
No.
That comes from a man that's been quickened and given eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord.
Yes.
Yes, the apostle had to have a man sent from God, Ananias, sent there to remove this blindness and the scales from his eyes. I can experience that myself. I can remember when I used to argue against the things that are the truth of this book. I'd argue so much. Me and my dad had so many arguments about those things. But I was a praying person. I can remember when I went to my knees and cried out unto God, Lord, I don't know whether my dad's telling me the things he's saying to me are the truth or not. It was, but I didn't know it. But I went to God. Lord, I don't know whether the things my dad is saying to me are the truth or not. Lord, I don't know whether the preacher in the missionary church I attend that I hear preach every week, every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, I don't know whether that's the truth or not. But I said this, Lord, I know this for a fact. This is your holy, inspired, an infallible word. And then I prayed this prayer. Lord, teach me the truth of your word. And God answered that prayer for me. Brother, I've been a Primitive Baptist now 44 years. And I describe myself this way because I've been among Primitive Baptists to know just because somebody joins the Primitive Baptist or just because somebody says they're a Primitive Baptist, they don't believe the primitive faith.
Yeah.
I'll say that again. Just because they claim to be a Primitive Baptist or just because they're on the rolls of a Primitive Baptist doesn't mean they believe the truth of this word that it teaches. That's why I call myself an Orthodox old-line Primitive Baptist that believe in these three things that are authorized for us to worship the Lord. We meet together and we have prayer. We've had that. The brother just prayed for us. We meet together and we sing and make melody in our hearts unto the Lord. We did that before the prayer.
Yeah.
And the preaching of the gospel from a man called of God to proclaim the glorious riches of Christ and Him crucified. That's what an Orthodox, old-line, Primitive Baptist is. And he doesn't go any further than that. No Sunday schools. No Bible studies. People say, what's wrong with Bible study, brother? The Scripture does not authorize it. You are to study the Bible on your own and pray to God that He will reveal the truth of it. You gather together with other men. You gather together with 10 men. You're going to find some Scripture. There'll be 10 opinions on it. You don't need men's opinions about it. All you need is God's opinion about it. And God has authorized how we're to study the Scriptures. And in groups together, it's not authorized. I'll tell you that. And if your church is having Bible studies, it's wrong. There's no authority for it.
Amen.
Not that there's anything wrong with studying the Bible. Each one of you, a child of God, have the responsibility to study it and pray to God to reveal to you the truth of it.
Yes.
Yes, Ananias. Call of God on one end, sent to a man, Saul of Tarsus, on the other end to preach the gospel to him that he might hear it, that he might receive his sight and go out and preach the glorious truth that Jesus is the Son of God.
Amen.
I thank you for your attention. May the Lord bless and keep you is my prayer.
Amen. Amen.